sports, not screens, the key to happier, healthier children. It's the perpetual discussion around kids and screen time and how it affects them. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. Rosa Vergara's research associate from the University of South Australia and an expert across this. Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Rosa.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Rosa, I guess we all feel that we instinctively feel that kids are watching too much, spending too much time in front of their screens, and that it can't be good for their eyes or the sedentary behaviour that's associated with that. Mm-hmm. But I was really interested when I saw this on the news the other night, because it's this thing about the effect on mood and their mental health that really, you know, spoke to me. Can you speak to that?
As a parent, it's not surprising, and as a researcher, it's definitely not surprising. So this study looked at a self-report tool that our South Australian Department for Education uses, and they ask kids about how happy, sad, worried they are, and also what they do after school. And then we took that data and looked at, well, who are the kids that are happier and what are they doing? And what we found was the kids that are doing more activity, so organised sport, the kids that are doing more homework, doing their jobs, so around the house, and also engaging with their friends and socialising, are the happier ones.
I find this tough because I've always said we can't blame kids for their technology addictions because we created this world for them.
Yeah.
And even though we think it's dangerous, kids do need to navigate the online world as well. So how do we deal with kids who genuinely feel disconnected from their friends if they can't have a phone or they can't have screen time? Because in their new world, that is their socialisation. Mm.
Yeah, I'm going through this at the moment. I have a 12-year-old who is desperate to use her, you know, device at all times and engage in her social media. And it's around, well, how do you provide it in a limited way so that they still can have that opportunity, but it's counteracted by some movement. And that's the key here. You know we have 24-hour guidelines that encourage children to have a limit of screen time, because that is associated with certain amounts of health and well-being, and they need a certain amount of activity as well to get that healthy balance.
Well, the tricky part for us in our household, and this is the perpetual discussion, I spend a lot of time on my phone personally.
Yeah.
Right? So, and it's not actually like reading anything, you know, watching anything entertainment-based. It's doing work.
Yeah.
And I could be on there from the moment I get home, whether it's that, the laptop, the iPad, whatever, but doing work until, you know, just about time for the kids to start getting ready for bed. How do I balance that? If it's coming from me, how do I balance that even though I have these obligations to make sure that I am across, you know, the stuff that's essentially allowing us to live and put food on the table?
Yeah, it's really, really tricky. I am in that same situation. I have the wonderful flexibility of being able to work from home, which also means I spend a lot of time on my screen. Mm. And so it really is, you have to practice what you preach. It's a bit like, you know, you tell your kids to eat healthy, you don't snack on rubbish, have a piece of fruit instead. So I think we need to think of screens in a similar way and snack on screens. Set limits so that, you know, dinner time is spent engaging with our children rather than having the phone next to us on the table, whether that be, you know, I've seen simple things that some families do where they have a little sacrifice basket at the start of a family dinner and the phones go in there, and so that's an opportunity for engagement. And it can just be something simple like that, so that, you know, and explaining to your children, at the moment I'm not sitting here playing on a game, I'm actually doing work. It is tricky. It really is a difficult balancing act, and we do need to lead by example as parents in the same way we do with healthy eating and manners and all those kinds of things.
Mm. Yeah. So while you're in the pantry smashing the hidden Tim Tams, that's when you're on your phone,
that's
getting
it.
On your Facebook.
They know, yeah. Kimber. I don't know what it is. They got a sixth sense. They know.
They do, don't they? They really do.
Dr. Rosa Vergara, research associate from the University of South Australia. Thank you very much for joining us, sharing your thoughts on this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a battle, isn't it? Because I think all of us feel that there's changes in mood when there's been too much screen time. Mm-hmm. changes in behavior. And you can imagine there's a lot of bad stuff. You know, social media is both full of cool stuff, but also things that make you judge yourself and make you compare yourself to others, which is never a good thing.
I'd be interested to know, though, like how it affects people's moods. Mm. Like if you're seeing a change, if you know, once my kids have been playing this flat out on the holidays, or if they do that for a couple of hours, afterwards they're really narky or whatever it is, I'd like to hear how your child's mood is affected by their screen time.
Chantel in Secret Harbour, good morning to you. So, you know, we're talking about screen time and kids.
Yeah, morning guys.
Chantel, do you notice a difference with your kids' mood?
I do. So if I've had like a rough day at work or anything like that and my son is just full on, I tend to give him the iPad, which I'm sure a lot of parents do.
Yep.
And I've found that if he has like a week with a lot more screen time, his behaviour changes dramatically. He is moody, he has a lot of attitude.
Mm.
And then on weeks where I don't give him as much screen time and we do actually get out of the house, he's a completely different kid.
Yes.
Now, he's only, did you say 3.5?
Yeah, he's only 3.5.
So then in that case, it would not even necessarily be about the content that he's seeing. It's just something about being on the screen and not being active or out and about.
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, he tends to, so he watches YouTube Kids and he can go through and pick some of his own things. I've limited what he can and can't see. And there's one kind of channel on there that he watches, which I've stopped letting him watch, that the kids on there, they are a little bit older, they understand, but they play fight or they play be naughty.
Yep.
And I think because he's still so little, he doesn't quite understand, well, no, that's actually not okay. And he takes away from that and it affects him and he starts doing the same thing.
Yep, I would agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of sass on the internet. And I remember in a time before we're living now, parents who wouldn't let their kids watch The Simpsons, which seems so innocent now, because Bart was so sassy to his parents that they thought that was a bad role model.
Eat my shorts.
Yeah,
and you know, it's funny because we've talked before about like you won't give kids knives, you won't let them play in the kitchen until they're a certain age, but we're giving them access to whatever they like in technology. At 3.5, like in my head, that child can barely walk and talk. I know that they're more grown up than that, but do you know what I mean? That seems so little.
Yeah.
Well, I told you guys about Ollie. He just turned one last week.
Yeah.
And he's already, like, he's grabbing the phone in a way now where he's making sure that the camera is framed up on his face properly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so he can talk to Nonno.
Yeah.
And he's only one, let alone. So,
God. Ellen, dad, landscape.
Ellen in Borragoon, good morning to you. You notice a change with your kids. How do you go about it?
Good morning. I do. So I've got two children. I've got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And we do our best to avoid iPads completely. You know, if it's a long car trip, that's fine. Bit of TV, that's okay. I've got to work. But if you put them on an iPad, the moment you try to disengage them from that, like it's not even a gradual thing, they turn into little demons.
Yep. Absolutely right.
We've noticed that as well.
Make that child 14 and then go, hey, give me your phone. You don't get to be on it anymore.
Well, the thing is, you're snapping them out of a trance.
Yes.
So, and we've read about this in particular, that they're there. Say, for example, they're there sitting on that iPad or that phone, you know, going through their YouTube Kids. And it's video after video after video of, like, information overload, essentially. And they are locked in a trance. And if they're there for 10, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, and then you come along and go, no more screen time, bang, yank it off them.
Yep.
You're doing that.
Yep.
Like you're snapping them out of it.
Yeah.
So, and I think part of the reason is also because like that overload of information at such a young age, they're exhausted.
Yes,
too,
I would agree.
You know?
Yeah.
I kind of feel for Chantel, who mentioned like, you know, as a mum coming home, I'm tired, I just need a bit of time. I get it.
Totally.
It's a great babysitter.
Yeah. It's a great babysitter.
A little slice of America coming to Perth today in the market grounds in the Perth CBD. We've got the American burger chain In-N-Out Burgers.
Mm.
So apparently they're all the rage in America. People love this place.
Man, I had one. It was all right.
It was Did you have one there?
Yeah, in the States, yeah.
Right, okay.
I mean, I had that. I'll be honest with you. I had that many burgers in the States that it was one of many. They were all pretty good burgers.
I mean, people are excited. You can go and get their burgers today from 10 to 4 at the Market Grounds and have a go at them. But it's, I mean, they said they too, they've got the Double Double Burger, the Animal Style Burger.
What's that? Animal style?
I don't know. Does that mean it's not Muppets? Actual animal? You're just eating something that's kind of like it?
Okay.
Maybe it's plant-based.
Plant-based.
Well, they also have the protein style burger. These all just sound like there's no real food in here. It's just they're sort of like
right
it is.
On, there's meat.
It's the style of food.
Right. Reconstituted soy proteins.
But you know, like when these things come to Perth, they go gangbusters. They Everybody lines up for them. You know, remember when we got Krispy Kreme in Whitford's?
Yes,
that was like about 4 weeks of lining up. You couldn't get anywhere near that area because there was just cars lining up to get donuts. Now, I get it. I love a donut. I love a good donut. But there is no way I would line up for anything.
I remember catching a flight from the East Coast back to Perth before I was living here again and just going, what is going on? Seeing people packing Krispy Kremes into the overhead luggage to bring back to Perth. Going, what is going on
but
here?
Also, that's a classic example. When you're at the airport, that's another example of lining
up.
Yes,
they line up for that, yeah.
Why are you in a rush to, you know, when they go, oh, your seats are this. I sit in that airport as long as I can.
Yes.
I'm the last to get on the plane because there is no reason to stand in a line of 60 people. And like, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
I am someone who stands in that line and I'm also holding a box of Krispy Kremes to bring over from Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you a liner upper?
Oh, such a liner upper.
Oh.
What else have you lined up for?
Well, I've lined up for, you're gonna laugh. So the midnight game launches. So when I lived in Canberra, this was like 2011. There was a game that was released called Modern Warfare 3. We were all very, very excited about this particular game. And here's the rub: it was a pre-order, and I'd paid it in full, and I could have just gone and gotten it at 9 o'clock the following morning, not a problem.
Right, because you'd already paid for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so they put it aside. But no, I was there at midnight. It was winter, in the middle of winter, for Canberra, which is like -4 degrees. We were there for like
what?
3 hours.
Well, who doesn't get excited by Modern Warfare, eh?
Yeah.
But just because you love a queue.
Yes, well, I don't know. I want to be one of those people
there's
energy. Everybody's excited. They're all, you know, and I want to be one of the people that tries it first. You know, I want to be a part of all of that.
Well, if that is the reason, if you're someone who lines up, if you would line up for a launch or whatever it is, tickets, whatever, if you're the kind of person who would line up, I would like to know what possesses you because I think there's something different in you. Like there's no way. The only time I can think that I've lined up for anything is when I had to get like a blood test before work and all the pensioners were there too early because they got nothing to do with their day and you'd have to wait for them to get done.
Yeah.
And that's the only time I've queued up because I'm like, I had to. It was a blood test and it was a health thing.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I'd walk away. I haven't lined up for nightclubs. I'm out.
Maybe I did when I was younger. You know, but certainly not now. I'd go home and do my own bloods.
All right.
You remember that story like, of the guy who was here in Perth and he was lining up for the iPhone? It was like the iPhone 6.
Yes.
And he was the first one and he just walked out of the store and like the Today Show were there and they were interviewing him.
Okay.
So take a listen to this.
Okay, now this is just the normal iPhone, is it?
This is just the normal iPhone 6. Yeah, I didn't want a bigger one.
All right. We're doing a reveal.
Oh!
He dropped it.
He was the first in the line. Everyone was watching him. They're like, here's the big experience.
He was so nervous in front of the camera. And Brooke in Double View, what have you lined up for? Oh, hang on. I need to do this.
I will line up for concerts. I have taught my 18-year-old daughter the art of going to a concert. Couple of sneaky drinks in your bag and we get there early and we get through the gate and we get a good spot.
Oh, so you're going right up to the gates right at the front then in the mosh pit.
That's it. General admission and we get there early and we get in there, get a few drinks and get a good spot.
Yeah, great parenting. Sweetheart, you got to preload and then get there early. Love it.
Debbie and Dianella, what about you?
So I had a theatre school back in the UK, and all the kids were into Harry Potter. And it was when they were bringing out the last book. And I had to teach the kids the next day, and W.H. Smith decided to sell it at midnight the night before. So I queued with practically all my students and got the book. And then I had to read it until 6 in the morning, because I knew as soon as I started teaching them at 9 o'clock, they would have read it or looked at the back page and told me the ending.
Oh, Debbie, what a great teacher you are.
Wow, you were worried about spoilers?
Yes, absolutely. And I didn't even go to the back page. I read all of the pages till 6 in the morning.
Wow.
Always, Debbie.
And, you know, I'm just going to point out that it's not ironic at all that the people that are calling to say they're quite happy to line up for stuff have been on hold. All through that last song, waiting to tell us the story, how they love a lineup.
And loving it.
Naomi, what have you got for us?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
I slept out at the shop at Warwick Centre, at the shops for AC/DC concert ticket. And I got there about 4 in the afternoon, slept there all night in the freezing cold. We took our little portable heater, blankets. It was great.
So I love cozy. That. You're like, we went with a generator. We had it.
It was awesome.
And were there lots of people?
Oh, the line went around the building and we were about 4th in line and we got all our tickets. It was awesome.
Naomi, what was the best part of it? Is it because you ended up getting AC/DC tickets, or was it the energy of being in that line and now saying that you had that experience?
It was the experience, but the best part was getting the tickets. So if I had missed out, I would have been Devo.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like having that feeling. Everybody's in the same boat.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If your team does, and of course, when Fremantle make the grand final.
Thank you.
If you're all lining up for tickets and you're all Dockers supporters, I can imagine that's a real party.
Oh, you're talking about it, you know. Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, you're best mates until the person in front of you buys 42 tickets. And then.
Marie and Marangaroo. Last one here. What possessed you to line up for something, and what was it?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Look, I can honestly tell you the only thing I've ever lined up for is a PCR test. I've been in Perth 38 years, and I swear to God that if you stand still, someone will line up behind you.
Oh, yes. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Robert Irwin. Our Robert Irwin, guys, from the Irwins.
Okay, yeah.
From Australia Zoo.
Was he famously the baby that Steve Irwin was holding with the crocodile? Is that Bindi's brother?
I think that was
Bindi. Okay, right. One of them, yeah.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Jeez, everything just feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a video that's emerged, and it popped up last week, of a girl while he was at the zoo trying to pick him up.
Oh.
Take a listen.
I think you're so cute, and I was wondering if I could have your number.
Well, I'm very flattered. Thank you. Where are you visiting from?
America.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Whereabouts?
Utah.
Cool. Oh, no, Utah's great.
Robert, what are you doing? Robert.
I mean, it was really, he's not interested.
No, well, hang on.
I mean, you've got to read the signs. He's not interested.
He went on to say, oh, look, sometimes my number, this is great. Sometimes my number doesn't work properly. So you're better off reaching out to me through Instagram.
Right.
All right, because then people see these. And then she went on to say, I tried reaching out through Instagram to let you know I was here today. And then he was like, oh, no, I don't know what to say. And then he just sort of ran off.
Sometimes I'd suggest getting a new phone plan if sometimes your number's not working properly.
Now, she needs to read the book. He's just not that into you.
Now, what's the best pickup line that's worked for you? And I will also take worked on you. All right, so the other side of it as well. Now, do you remember last week I was telling you guys about a friend of mine, and she doesn't go out all that much, but she went out over the weekend, and she was at the club, and a guy walked up to her and said, this was his pickup line, I am the weirdest guy you're ever going to meet.
Oh, God.
that was what he tried on.
Did it work?
No, it did not work. It was ridiculous. if you've got game... And it's worked on you. I'd love to hear from you. The best pickup line that's worked on you or for you.
I think if you could make me laugh, I'd accept it. Normally, I hate a pickup line. I said to you guys last week, I would prefer someone to just go, oh, hi, how you going? My name's Todd. Nice to meet you. Like, I'm fine with that, right? Because then you can just have a chat. unless they come in with something really funny. If it doesn't land, then I think it's worse.
Mm. I mean, I met this beautiful woman once at a gathering and she'd made hummus, this interesting hummus. And I said, I'd love to get this recipe. Well, a bit lame, but it clearly worked because I married her.
That was my line.
And then he left his crumbs behind. He left his thongs there so that she had to call him and go, you left your manky thongs here.
Well, you know, you're searching for, I don't know, I don't suppose I could get your recipe for your hummus.
No, that's not bad, Maddie. And it's much better than the dude that was throwing ice at me in the bar and then said, I've been throwing ice at you for 10 minutes because you think you've got a great rap. That doesn't
work. That didn't work.
No. No. Really? Surprising.
Really surprising.
Shocking.
Good morning to you, Megan. We're after the best pickup line that's either worked for you or worked on you. Which one for you?
Good morning, team. I had a man come up to me while I was at work one evening in the city, and he asked me if he could introduce his dog to me. That was over a year and a half ago. We've been dating ever since.
Oh, yes.
Dogs. Well, yeah, okay.
Megan, can I be honest, though? Are you partly still in the relationship because of the dog?
No, he's actually a charming human being, but the dog did seal the deal.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. It's a soft approach, isn't it?
And also, friendly. Again, just friendly and honest.
Yeah.
Can I introduce you to my dog? Same thing. Just say a hi, I'm so-and-so. It works.
Mel in Byford, pick-up line that worked for you or on you?
It worked for me.
Okay.
And it was many years ago now. Me and a couple of girlfriends were having coffee in Northridge late one night, and there happened to be quite a good-looking waiter. And he bought us out our coffees, so we asked for a plate of extra cookies because at the time they gave you a little cookie with your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to walk off, and just as he did, I said, oh, but wait. And he turned around, I said, are they going to be fortune cookies? And he looked at me and he went, what? What do you mean? And I said, well, if it's a fortune cookie, it's going to have your name and number in it when it comes back to the table.
Oh, Mel! Mel!
You go, girl.
Work it, girl.
Mel, did he love it?
He did love it. He got a bit nervous and he ran back into the cafe to the pizza chef, and the pizza chef was like, what the hell are you doing, mate? Get some cookies and give me your number.
We haven't got any fortune cookies. We haven't got fortune cookies.
I think, too, sometimes men are a bit taken aback if women do the approach. Not because we can't, but maybe it happens less.
Right.
You don't get approached by as many women, so there's that moment of pause where, like, is this really happening? Is this happening to me? I've read about this.
Mm.
Paulina in Kelmscott, good morning to you. So pick up line that's worked for you or on you. Which one for you?
Hey, guys. It did not work for me. So I was out with a couple of friends, went to the bar, and some guy came up to me and said, you must be my Wi-Fi because we connected straight away.
Hang on. Was there more to that?
So I just had to laugh. And so we disconnected and just went to the girls and told them, and he felt so embarrassed. But I said to him, you need to do better, buddy.
Just do better.
Hashtag do better.
I'm Brittany. Hi.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thank you. Go on, walk us through it.
I was at a bar with a couple of friends and the guy came up and he goes, oh, poo, did you just fart? Because you just blew me away.
Wow. Did that work?
No, it definitely did not.
You know, when you want someone to think about you in a intimate way, you really want them to think about bowel movements. And
I mean, it makes the disconnected Wi-Fi line sound a whole lot better, actually, doesn't it?
You can celebrate the state with plates of winter's finest ingredients this June. You can book a WA dining experience now at platingupwa.com. But there's a lot more to this than what I'm going to explain to you right now. And that's why we've got Scott Bridger from Bibb and Tucker on the phone this morning. Good morning to you, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, you're good, thanks, buddy. Now, Scott, of course, we know that the pandemic really was terrible for our hospitality industry. You know, we employed about 81,000 people in WA in hospitality. I mean, just as a ballpark figure, where are we at now and how many people lost their job over the pandemic?
It's been tough for everyone in the industry. Our numbers are good. People are still going out and enjoying food. It's a little bit hard to deal with the staff, but we're hoping that come spring it will kind of change its tune a little bit, and yeah, it will get a bit better. If not, if you guys want a career change, come and see me.
Well, I think plating up WA really helps. I mean, this is 30 days of WA's best ingredients at 30 venues. And at those venues, everyone kind of has a signature dish, the dish that they would love people to try. Now, you are the chef and the owner at Bibb and Tucker there. So how did you choose this your dish, and what is it?
So yeah, we were given a list of ingredients that essentially we can choose from, and all WA produce are coming from passionate farmers, producers, and suppliers within WA. So we have this amazing list that we can choose from, and you really, it's quite a hard one to pick which one, but we chose abalone, which is a really beautiful product that's coming out of Bremer Bay at the moment, and was kind of untouchable for quite a few years with the Chinese market sort of dropping off a little bit, it's become more available to chefs. So we're doing a dish at Bibb and Tucker. We are doing saltbush and vinegar abalone. So it's really crispy abalone served with a seaweed mayonnaise. Essentially like a pimped out salt and vinegar chips. But
oh, abalone. Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking,
I was about
Scott.
To say, I don't know what abalone tastes like, and I don't even know the texture. What kind of thing is that? What's something else that's close to it?
It's quite a unique taste, actually. Well, it's kind of like it sounds gross, but it's a sea snail. But when it's cleaned up and really quickly fried or slowly cooked, it has this beautiful sort of umami seafood flavour that really is quite different to anything else in the ocean. Mm.
Now, Scott, can you explain what umami tastes like? I'm salivating over this. You know, you're looking at the other ones here, lobster and manjimup truffle dumplings with prawn and sweet aromatic soy. You've got chicken fried Lindley Valley pork steak sandwich and sauerkraut and pickles and hot sauce aioli. And they're just, you know, so much here just to go out and sample. But I've got one question in particular, Scott, and I'm really hoping that you can be the definitive answer on this particular question, because we spent the first 45 minutes of the show on this. Can you please tell us the difference between a shepherd's pie and a cottage pie?
Well, we don't have either of them on the menu at Bibb and Tucker.
No.
But I think from memory, from my old school training days, one has vegetables and one doesn't.
Oh, see, the controversy continues.
Far out.
Of course, Scott would put abalone in his.
Of course he would. We seriously haven't. So, you know, we had a caller called in and said, you know, it was the vegetable thing. Somebody else said it was different types of meat. Then our boss piled in because she was listening. She's like, no, it's not that. It's the other way around. And it's just such a mystery, Scott. Such a mystery.
I'm sure you've got plenty of listeners out there just stewing at the moment, knowing the answer to themselves.
Mm. But hey, that's what we love about food and cooking, is that it's an individual thing, you know?
Yeah, can we continue this conversation down at Bibb and Tucker?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Fire up that grill, mate. All right, beautiful. So if you want to go and book one of these participating venues, they're showcasing these Hero WA dishes that are demonstrating the state's great winter ingredients. All of this packed, beautiful tastes, all that sort of stuff. You can check out platingupwa.com. Scott Bridger, Bibb and Tucker, thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.